It's Wednesday, March the 29th, and you're tuned in to the Teen Ivy Podcast. I'm Vince.
And I'm Loungin.
That's right.
I'm Anthony.
Okay. This is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the coolest things in the world. Cool things include superheroes, video games, and movies.
I have a cool thing that's not from this world. Am I allowed to talk about it?
I mean, I could be the judge of that. Okay. As the ambassador of all that is cool.
No, but can I yes or no?
Sure.
Okay, I don't actually have anything. I just want to know.
All right.
If I could.
Well, that's strike one. So there you go.
So I found this coin.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I was hanging out in the quarry.
Mm.
I found this coin.
Mm.
And I think I found something out of this world. It was like a spaceship.
Mm.
And there was a guy in a wall. And he was talking to me.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait, that was a movie.
Mm, that's right. That's the movie we saw today. We saw Saban's Power Rangers.
We did see Saban's Power Rangers.
And that is the official movie title. It is literally Saban's apostrophe S Power Rangers.
I can't tell if you're messing with me or not.
No, really. That's like, if you were to look it up right now on IMDb, it is Saban apostrophe S.
That's hilarious.
Power Rangers.
That's great.
It's not Mighty Morphin. It's Saban's Power Rangers.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And Saban, of course, the creator of Power Rangers.
Mm.
And if you, a little history lesson, Saban did Power Rangers up until, I think, the late 90s.
Okay.
Until which then he sold this franchise off to Disney.
Okay.
And then Disney had the rights to Power Rangers. What's up?
Which is, okay, finish your history lesson, but then I got a question.
Okay. And then in the late aughts.
Okay.
Disney sold Power Rangers back to Saban.
Huh.
And Saban has the rights to Power Rangers now.
Wow.
Yep.
So my question is, how can Power Rangers be anything other than toys? Because all that show is some like very light acting on very 90s sets,
mm-hmm.
with the rest of it being ripped straight from the Japanese show.
It's in the contract. It's the rights that they said.
Wow.
Because Power Rangers is licensed as an original property.
As an original property, but it's like, it is, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm. A lot of things like that happened in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Right? It's like...
Is that the whole Macross Harmony Gold thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically what it is. Robotech technically is separate.
Yeah.
Even though it is. But if when I tell you that Power Rangers is the same, I'll disagree and be a total hypocrite.
Okay.
Because that's how I see it.
All right.
Yeah. It's... legally, they are different, but technically they're the same.
Okay, legally they're different, but they're... Okay, yep.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
There you go. So we saw Power Rangers is the reboot of the original 1993 series. We got all your favorites. We got the Jason, we got the Kimberly, the Trini, Zach, and...
I thought her name was Dee Dee.
I didn't understand that
joke. I didn't understand that joke either.
Yeah, like, what are they trying to say?
Were they saying that a lot of people confused her for someone named Dee Dee?
Yeah, because I never got that.
I never got that either.
They didn't click with me. Anyways, also, the last character is Billy. Like, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Billy the Blue
FYI.
One.
FYI.
Yeah. And unlike the original one, they switched up the races and the colors.
Yep.
So in the original Power Rangers, it was like, hey, the yellow lady, or the Asian chick, is yellow.
Yeah.
The black boy is the Black Ranger.
I don't get why they would choose that.
I don't know, but...
It makes no sense.
So that's why in this one, they kind of flipped it.
They even like, reference it a lot, which I guess we'll get to.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a complete reimagining, so even though it does a lot of things that...
Cool.
I would say capture the spirit of the original Power
Rangers. It does a lot of things.
I will also go on to say that it is wholly original.
Is it, though? Is it?
There's no rip footage from Japan.
No, there is not.
So it there is not. 100% original.
I guess.
It is 100%
original. Our definitions original. Of original may differ.
And Rita's a...
Rita's a smoking hot babe.
She sure is.
She is not repulsive.
They changed the lore a little bit, so the movie opens up, and it's like, somewhere in the prehistoric age, there's a big calamity on Earth.
Yeah, and the meteor that killed the dinosaurs...
Was summoned by
a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Rita used to be... There was always six Power Rangers.
Mm.
Rita Repulsive was the green.
And she went rogue.
And she went rogue, and she fucking killed all the Rangers.
And everything.
Yeah, and all life on Earth.
Yeah.
All in the pursuit of a crystal, the Zeo crystal.
What was it 36, 35 million years later?
65.
65, there you
right?
go.
The Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The whatever. Dinosaurs dead. And she gets banished. So we skip to today. A couple teenagers with issues. Not with attitude.
Did they have bad-itude?
No. Some might say, sure.
Not even the Black Ranger? He had some bad-itude.
That dude was pretty bad-itude.
He was pretty bad-itude.
Yeah. He was. He was the most bad-itude. I mean, there's no denying it. They really said, we need a cool Asian dude.
Yeah. We need DK back. Yeah. We need a DK alike.
Yeah. Which is nice to see. It's not often you get to see, the Asian dude in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Right? So it's fun.
I think what that movie did, even though it was very self-referential in beating you over the head with, hey, we're multicultural.
Yeah.
And... genders don't matter.
Yeah.
They did a really good job of having the diverse cast matter. They even though they did that one thing where the token black guy did something that is generic in every movie.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
So.
I think they went to... I'm going to sound like such an awful person for saying this, but I feel like they needed to have another, just straight up white girl.
I don't even know if they needed that. I think they needed someone.
Okay, with you're right.
They a just different hair color.
Yeah, they picked two the two chicks on the team. They're both. You could tell they're of mixed background.
Yeah, some sort of Latina.
Yeah, mix or Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern mix.
Maybe even Asian. Who knows?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they kind of look the same.
Yep.
And in a lot of the scenes, in the dark scenes. I could not tell them apart.
No, and the dark scenes are dark.
Yeah.
Right? There's no lighting. It's Doom 3 dark, if you get that reference.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was actually hard to tell certain characters apart during that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So a little thing of oh, Kimberly is supposed to be this preppy cheerleader, right? Yeah. But she's got this alt rock black hair look going on.
Edginess
to Yeah, it. Right? And just something to differentiate the characters more.
Yeah.
Would have been really helpful.
Because it didn't help that Trini was also this sort of...
Same skin tone, also black hair,
yep.
But it was longer. But she had the short on one side, so it was depending on the angle, you're is that her or is that Kimberly? I can't tell.
Yeah, but and she also had the same sort of personality type where she was I'm a kind of awkward weirdo out of my...
Independent woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
I don't need no woman.
Yeah. But yeah, so the cast is cool. I think Jason is... They pick Jason.
They pick the quarterback. That's who he is.
Although they...
No karate, though.
No karate.
No karate, sorry.
Yeah. And Billy's a nerd.
Yeah, Billy's a dork. So you told me coming into this that you heard Billy is the standout role in this movie.
Yeah.
And 100% agree.
Yeah.
The only thing I would have against Billy is that he is the only character where I feel that that person or that actor got to show off their acting chops.
Because
everyone else is very generic.
Yeah.
They are moody teenagers, moody, shitty teenagers that the world is against them and everything sucks.
Yeah.
Until they get this power and realize everything doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But Billy is this guy who he said he mentioned that they're on the spectrum, right? So he has something with his brain where he can't recognize regular social, almost autism, very light
almost
autism. And I think just even Rita, she's very generic, ha ha ha, cackling witch, right? I'm gonna get you and your little dog, right?
Yeah.
I think that while Billy was the best, I think, in that movie, he was also the only character written for him to be unique and stand out.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth it because of some elements in the story.
Yeah, there are some elements in that story, and then also some jokes where it reminds me of remember Titanfall 2 with your interactions with BT?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that. Mm-hmm. Or Batista's character in Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Drax,
it's a lot of social obliviousness.
Yeah.
And that really comes through as usually a good punchline.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me what you think of the movie.
I don't know what I think of the movie. I'm hoping this conversation, because so we just saw it.
Yeah.
We saw the movie, came immediately back here and started recording.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope that this conversation will help me
figure out what
you think.
Okay, I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Going in.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the first trailers and being what is this? what is this mess of a series we're watching?
Yeah.
But as time, but that was like the initial hit when you first see it, right? Because like the suits come out and then you're like, wow, what's going on?
Okay.
And they're not even saying morph in time. They're just like doing the Iron Man armor on.
And they're in dinosaur times.
Yeah. And I was like, what is going on? But, you know, I like after the initial trailers and stuff, and I cooled off on that. I got really hyped for this movie because I was like, yeah, no, it's Power Rangers being original, like doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Completely separate from Sentai. And I feel like it's something they should have done a long time ago.
I think we both agree now that a lot of series that we loved as kids,
yeah,
if they bring it back now and it's exactly the same, that would be mostly disappointing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I think the things are there, like everything is of its time, right? It's very few things are timeless.
Yeah.
Correct. And Power Rangers is definitely
not timeless.
It is 100% 1993, my friend. So as much as I would say, like, love to see the original cast back and like, or just an updated version of what that show was, I know that if that were to happen, I would hate it.
Yeah.
So I got excited for this movie. We go in, and I gotta say, I was a little hesitant on the intro and like how it initially started off.
Because, like the retcon of Power Rangers history and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's things about it that I was a little questioning, like I might do some go into slight spoilers, so you guys would know that already, but I didn't like how Jason, like the core of the team, he was flawed from the outset.
Oh, like from the jump, he was flawed.
Okay. Yeah, like I know he's the leader of the team, and in my mind, maybe it's because I've always like read the best as a kid, but it's like Jason was always like the moral compass. He was the guy who like that's why he was the leader, right?
That's fair.
Like they always turned to him in moments of doubt. And he was supposed to guide them. So when this movie opens up and he's got an anklet on him for committing a felony, you're just like, what? He threw away his football scholarship?
Yeah, he's under for seemingly no reason. Like, we don't understand. Like, there's a prank going on.
Yeah.
But, like, why would you go so far as to commit a felony? Like, this person hasn't made. What motivation does he have to throw his life away?
So, like, when the movie opens up with that scene, I'm just like, oh, man, I hope, like, we don't get more of this because I don't like the direction this is going in. But thankfully, it moves away from that. And it kind of, like, as the movie progresses, Jason's character is completely counterintuitive to his situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in the next scene, it's weird. He comes into detention and he plays hero.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wait, why would this guy... How could this guy also be the same guy?
Why would quarterback
all
of a sudden be like, hey, I'll help out the dork? Or like, maybe that's the thing of like, remember watching 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Where they have the joke of like, no, you gotta one-strap it. It's cool. You got a one-strap. Everyone's two-strapping it, right? So like, maybe high school is different now than what we know.
Maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, like, that makes no sense to me. Like, he's cool boy jock, threw his life away, and then counteracted both of those by sticking up for this guy. He has no clue what he's about, right? He has no reason to intervene.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's a moral compass.
Yeah, and then throughout the movie, he is the Jason you expect him to be.
And sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
Like, he will turn off his moral compass seemingly in relation to the plot needs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's my biggest issue with the movie. Aside from that, I actually really enjoyed this movie. I had a lot of fun. I thought, you know, they took a lot of time building the team camaraderie. Like, it wasn't completely smooth, and there were obvious moments where it's like, no, we're just gonna sit down and do character building with each other.
Yeah.
But like, I enjoyed it, and
they had a montage. They had
They had the training montage.
They had a powwow.
They had like a little bit of a breakdown, and they came back together.
It was almost a Rocky movie.
Yeah, and then you know towards the end they all got the suits and they did the putty fight, and then giant robots and Goldar, and like it was for me. I thought it was a great blending of what I expect from say a ridiculous summer movie blockbuster, but it also knew what it was.
Okay, so I think that's where... I don't think this movie knows what it wanted to be.
So here's the thing. I think of the Transformers films, right?
Yeah.
And I think about how ridiculous those movies are. Mm-hmm. But the Transformers movies are drinking their own Kool-Aid. And they're super serious about what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes the Transformers movies a little tough to bear.
Okay.
Whereas with Power Rangers, I found that it's like, yeah, this movie's completely dumb. And there's like a lot of dumb shit that's going on. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. But at the same time, it understands its audience. It understands its roots. And it never goes to the point where it's like, this is 100% serious stuff. And throughout the movie, like, there are moments, like, even when they play their jokes, it's like, I felt like they fit because they understood that, like, the people watching this movie at some point, they're like, yeah, we're not going to question it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. So that's your take?
I really enjoyed it.
So for me, though, I was watching the movie and I couldn't help but keep thinking that the movie didn't know what it wanted to be. You have this tone throughout the movie, and like, maybe it's lighting, maybe it's setting. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the tone throughout the movie is super duper serious. And they're like, hey, we're going to make this gritty, drama filled life. Yeah. And this is the new Power Rangers, right?
Yeah.
But then they go back and reference stuff from original Power Rangers.
Yeah.
To their own detriment, like where it doesn't feel okay. There is a scene where they are running, right? Mm. And they have the side shot,
yeah,
and a song plays,
yeah,
and that was the most out of place thing,
yes,
I've ever seen in a movie,
yes,
right? And it's stuff like that where I was very confused on what the movie wanted to go for.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I will say, remember, this is a kid's movie.
It is also a kid's movie, yes.
Yes.
Right. But when I think of stuff where... I think that's where I can't let go. Where... When I think of stuff where it's like, I love movies that are so dumb they're cool.
Yeah.
And this movie has a lot of that.
Yeah.
There are certain scenes where, like, holy shit, that was so stupid,
yeah,
but I loved it, right?
Yeah.
When I think of Tokyo Drift,
yeah,
right? Just scenes of them drifting in the car park. Like, that's a dumb scene, right? It's just him crashing over and over again.
Yeah.
But it still fits with the context. When I think of Real Steel,
yeah,
or not Real Steel Boxing, or when I think of Pacific Rim,
yeah,
right? The scene where they fly to space,
mm-hmm,
and he gets a sword out of the back for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, that is super dumb.
Yeah.
But it still is within the context of the tone they're trying to set.
I would argue, like, with those two movies you referenced, those are not kids' movies.
They are not. So that's the thing I'm trying to come back at. Where if I was, I feel like if I was a kid,
yeah,
I would be in a weird situation where that looked cool to me because it was, yeah, I was like, I'm a child, right? But I also don't have the reference point for what just happened on screen.
Yeah.
So I don't know who they're trying to appease to. Are they trying to appease to moody teenagers? Mm-hmm. Are they trying to appease to adults that are also seeing this movie? Mm-hmm. Or are they just trying to go to kids? Or are they trying to go to all three and failing?
Who knows? Right. I think at some point they realize that... So even though the movie's based about teenagers and their issues, I don't think the movie is aiming for that demographic at all.
It started off like that,
yeah,
and then it turned into something else.
Right? I think it's totally... They're aiming for the young kids, and then the adults who are nostalgic for Power Rangers.
So, like, the adults who are taking their kids, and yeah, they're like, hey, this, like, is the thing I watch.
I don't know if you looked around in the theater. We saw a late show.
Yeah.
Everyone in that theater was around 30.
Yeah.
And they were there because they saw this...
They probably saw Power Rangers.
Power Rangers when they were a kid. And I feel like there's stuff in this movie that they do that are... They're just to appeal to that crowd.
Okay.
And I do feel like, yeah, I get your point where it's like, it can seem a little jumpy in terms of its tone. But I just attribute that, well, that's a kid's movie. Kids' movies have always been sort of like, we got to keep moving.
Yeah, okay, like, yeah, if I think about the Lego movie,
yeah,
like, that's always move, scene, scene, scene. Yeah. But it's never, like, it never, like, what I'm trying to say is that it never changes tone.
No.
It's always, from the get-go, bright, happy colors. Yeah. But this one, from the jump, is dark, moody, depressing.
Yeah.
Turns into moral dilemma, let's be friends, and then turns into
Power Rangers. That story you just described, I feel like that's every setup to every kid's movie, right?
Maybe I just don't watch enough kids' movies.
Because, like, you know how it's kind of like, it always starts out with, like, kid comes from a broken family, or a kid moves to, new kid in town, or like, and it's like, it starts off really sad, and then they make friends, and then these friends do stuff, and then bam.
Maybe, yeah, maybe I haven't, like, I've been so detached from kids' movies for so long that I just forgot, but, like, it makes sense when you say it like that.
Like, I, at least that's how I see it. I mean, I will totally agree that the visual style they went for may be a little too,
I don't want to say adult.
No, but it's, you know how, like, the Transformers films are, like, really, like,
great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if this movie just went for a bit more color, it would, or, like, if even if they just had brighter lights throughout most of the scenes, it would make...
Which I think is what it needed.
Yeah, I think it would just... Because even when they made the Zords and the Megazord at the end, or the Mamazord...
The Mamazord.
I was like, that's really gray, and just... Like, surprisingly, Rita Repulsa and Goldar are the most colorful things in this movie.
Yes!
And it's so weird!
It's off-putting to the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Like, this person who stands out so much. And, like, it's Goldar. You can't really make him gray.
Yeah.
Right? But... They are the most eye-catching things, right? Where everyone else kind of blends in. Even the Rangers in their suits.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it, but they designed a suit while still being all of a color, all a solid color, is dull.
Yeah.
Even the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah. Or even a lot of the set dressing. Like, I can't believe when they get to the spaceship, it's just silver.
It's all, like, stainless steel.
Yeah. And I wish I had a bit more color in the background.
They played around with, like, some purples and stuff with, like, the spacey aspects.
Yeah, but I just... Yeah, I do wish the movie just had more color to it.
Yeah.
I think that would have really matched the tone of
the film. I want, like, a fan color edit.
That would be super cool.
That would be cool. Just drag the contrast bar all the way.
Yeah, like, I don't think this is the type of movie where they need to be like, let's just DC this shit up Batman style.
Yeah, when I think of Power Rangers, I think of them all posing and then their colored fireworks exploding behind them.
Yeah,
right. Sure. But, so yeah, I think I enjoyed the movie less than you.
Totally,
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Right? I think that movie still had some really great moments.
It had a ton of great moments.
It did. And there's a lot of funny stuff to be had, especially with Billy's character and the way Billy interacts with other people.
Yeah.
Right. And Rita Repulsa was evil.
I can't believe how evil she was.
She was devilish.
Yeah.
Just the things she does to other people. Like, she straight up murders people.
Yep.
Right?
She, like, comes to the Rangers in their sleep.
And eats them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She does do that.
So, that's, again, another thing of, like, there's this color... Here's this thing that's supposed to be colorful, kids movie, whatever. And then here's this villain that is just, like, evil incarnate.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, like, definitely the... Oh, let's say... The... I don't know how I can put this. The... You know, kids' movies today, I will admit, the level of maturity that they're allowed to put in is definitely a lot higher than when we were kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's how they got away with it. But
this is like, I forgot what rating this movie was. It's like 14A?
No, it's PG. No.
Is it PG for real? Just straight PG?
There's no blood.
Oh. Oh, yeah, there is no blood.
Except for when Jason trips.
Let's see. I got the ticket right here. PG?
PG.
Hot damn.
Yeah. I think the only time there's blood is when Jason trips.
Oh, yeah, and
he spits blood.
No, when he falls from the...
Yeah, that's it.
And he spits out blood, and that's it. That's the only blood you
ever
see.
They're censoring in the Zords.
Yeah.
For when they're swearing.
They're self-censoring from characters.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
The rating system is weird.
It sure is.
And maybe it's making movies worse.
Yeah, it's kind of busted, huh?
That's kind of maybe a broader conversation to have
with
people who know more about movies.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say on this movie?
That ending scene is dumb.
But it's great.
And I love it.
It's great.
Right?
There's a lot of great things.
Yeah, there's a lot of totally great things. But I think those great things go in the face of the tone of that movie.
Okay.
Just like straight, it's two worlds colliding together and they tried to make something of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Like, if I had to give it a rating, I'd probably give it a 3.
Yeah.
Like a low 3.
Yeah. I'm on a 4.
You're on a 4?
I'm just like, damn, I'd watch that again.
Yeah.
Or
it's,
like,
it's fine.
Maybe not again, but like, I can't wait for the sequel.
Okay. Because there is going to be a sequel. There are scenes at the end where it's like, okay, you set this up for a sequel. Yeah. And also, Hollywood mentality is that anything can be a sequel. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw it in the story.
Yeah, there you go.
Sweet. Same. I did sound kind of down on it. I'm realizing this. But, mm-hmm. like, I did think it was... I thought it was fine. I thought it was a fine movie. I didn't hate it.
Good. Good. So, there you go. Power Rangers. Check it out. It's worth it.
Is it?
So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. See it on a cheap night.
Yeah. Speaking of other, we'll say, shows from our past.
Okay.
That are getting reboots.
All right.
Read this tweet for me, Anthony, from YTV.com.
I'm sorry, what? YTV.com says, reboot is back. Take a first look at our live-action reimagining of reboot.
What? Can you describe this image for me?
And this guy's eating a banana. It's multicultural cast, kind of, with a child. One dude's eating a pizza, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy's eating a banana.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at an iMac.
Mm-hmm.
All... amazed.
Interesting, huh? So what part of that screams reboot to you?
None of it.
Ah, okay.
0%.
Okay, all right. I got a second image for you just to see because, you know, my friend questioned what part of this is reboot. So now I want you to read the second tweet.
That one looks like Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad and it 100%. This reads Tokusatsu to me. What is this picture?
That is... another screen from the new reboot.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
This looks like the video game segments of Saints Row 3 and 4.
So what Anthony's... so basically, it's a live-action reboot, but it looks like there are CG elements, and from the pictures we have, I gather that it is five kids playing Power Rangers reboot style, jumping into computers.
Okay.
Which basically is Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
So, okay... CG is huge.
Yeah.
There is CG everywhere you look in media.
Yeah!
This was the one time they could have used CG, and it would have been fine. Because that reboot is all CG. They could have used sick future tech to remake a reboot, or a reimagining of... they could have rebooted reboot.
They could have.
And they didn't. They chose not to. I hope this is not too loud. I'm yelling away from the microphone as to not deafen your ears. But what the fuck? Like,
are you angry?
I'm baffled. Okay. I wouldn't say I'm angry. It is almost to me a stupid decision.
Okay.
That they would go live action
mm-hmm.
when they could both appease fans.
Yes.
And hook new kids. Because... CG is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it is the new hotness. Why not use that to your advantage to take the show that made CG cool, at least in Canada, and do it again and do it right.
Oh. But so you say something interesting. Reboot was the show that was doing CG when CG wasn't cool.
Yeah.
And now CG's cool.
Oh, so they're taking the hipster route.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't think of that. It's still dumb. I didn't think of it. Maybe I didn't think of it because it's dumb.
There you have it. I have nothing else to say on that. I mean, I am just as...
like. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't... Yeah. No, reboot was something, you know, I loved growing up. And this is not that.
As someone who owns a reboot art book signed by the artist.
Oh, man.
Why? What? Okay. I'm going to go back on the nostalgia train, too.
Yeah?
So I got something. It's, you remember StarCraft?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever, like, I had a lot of friends who were like, man, I'm so good at StarCraft. I could beat those Koreans. I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Because they're Korean.
Yeah.
Right? But now you can pretend to be Korean all over again because in 4K.
What?
Because they are remastering StarCraft 1.
What?
Yeah. Blizzard is remastering StarCraft 1 in 4K.
Why?
Because esports are hot. And I don't think remasters are actually hard to make? Like, I feel like companies pump those things out like nobody's issue, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And I've seen bad ones, like the Silent Hill collection is terrible for that kind of stuff. But yeah, so you can now, or you will be able to play StarCraft 1 in 4K through Battle.net.
Damn.
And it's due out this summer.
For a price, I'm assuming.
For a price, I wouldn't doubt it. I highly doubt it's free.
All right. Wow, StarCraft remastered.
They mention it in the trailer as an esports phenomenon. Right?
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Like, it's just a bunch of pictures of like old Korean footage of people playing StarCraft in booths and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
Is there going to be a 4x3 mode?
Maybe. If you're crazy. See, yeah. I'm just waiting for like the Warcraft 3 up-res. Because like that was a game I hear people just losing their mind about, but I never played.
People like that game because of the one mode.
The Dota mode?
Yeah.
Oh, so they made Dota.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's why Warcraft 3 was popular, because it had that one little... Like,
oh, I thought Warcraft 3 was popular because Warcraft 3.
Like, yes?
I know Dota was its own thing.
Yeah.
But I thought Warcraft 3 was still, like, cool on its own.
Like, it is, but make no mistake, Warcraft 3's popularity stemmed from that spin-off mode that gave us Dota.
Okay.
That's what it was.
That's fair.
Cool. Since we're on the topic of, like, remakes and reimaginings, let's go to the next one.
Which one?
Netflix has gotten the rights to make a Death Note movie.
Oh, you mean that hot Japanese anime you kids are always talking about?
Yeah, the one that's an international phenomenon.
Please tell me about your Japanese animes.
Well, first of all, it's done by Netflix, aka Hollywood, aka Everyone's White.
AKA Everyone. That's a good subtitle. Okay, so I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
As someone who is
not white,
maybe Asian, depending on how you feel that day.
Okay.
Right? Because you could be Asian, you could be Pacific Island.
I could be Canadian.
I could be Canadian. I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want. Does this offend you in any way that they have made a live action thing featuring mostly white people?
Not really.
Okay.
But, I mean, I say that as someone who's like, well, it's the anime. And the anime... Well, here's the thing. It depends on how this movie is framed.
If it's in Tokyo? Like,
yes. Why? If it's in Tokyo and he's white, then I'll be like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But if it's like, oh, check it out, this boy's raised in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what's not? It can't be. It'd be like New York.
Yeah.
Right?
Some he's city.
High school in New York, and then...
What if it's Toronto?
Better. He's in Toronto and he's raised there, and it's like, boom. I fully expect him to be white. He could be black because that's the culture in that city.
One of the side characters is black. Who, I believe his name is L. Light? Light is black, I believe.
Okay.
And in the other show, he's also Japanese.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that's fine. But no, I mean, like the white casting, I don't know. That's expected. I mean, there's been Death Note. There's been Japanese Death Note films. There's been other things.
So I accidentally I got into a Twitter battle.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't know how I did it because I thought I was just being very nonchalant about it.
Mm-hmm.
So a person posted up. There's a lot of jokes going around on the Twitterscape of just like here. Someone posted pretty much a picture from The Office.
Yes.
Where it's Dwight with a post-it note on his head that says Asian. So I guess they're playing like heads up, right?
Yeah.
And then someone just put Death Note at the top. So I'm like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Right. So I posted though, I'm like, hey, if you did want to watch a Death Note live action with Asian people, they made two Asian live action, like two Japanese live actions.
Yeah.
And then people got so mad at me and they're like, it's not about that. It's supposed to be made here and blah, blah, blah. And there was like, I've never felt the brunt like of the internet before until now.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I mean, like, I understand that, like, it shouldn't, like, just because it's made in Hollywood, the expectation shouldn't be, well, they should be white then. Like,
yeah, I do understand.
I understand that argument. But at the same time, it's like, listen, if that's what they want to do, that's what they
want
to do.
Yeah, they got the rights. They can kind of do what they want.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that I feel they are trying to strip anything cultural about that from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just trying to strip it away.
Yeah.
Because instead of saying it is a Japanese phenomenon or like a hit Japanese whatever, they are saying international. It's very vague.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The marketing around it seems like, hey... hey, white people,
mm-hmm.
check out this thing. It's not this Asian thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I assume there was some market test somewhere that was like, hey, you'll get more views
sure.
if you do it this way.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if that brings people to of a wider audience to maybe check anime or manga
yeah.
or to just to see it. Like, yeah. that's cool with me.
Yeah. I mean, and let's not forget, in other countries, the same thing happens the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, have you not seen the Japanese version of Cinderella?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Right? I mean, someone would say Cinderella's white. Not in Japan.
Not in Japan.
Nope.
Shin Nihongo.
There you go. So, I mean, like, that stuff happens. But, I mean, yeah, it's America. What did you expect is going to happen? I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be cool if it was an Asian dude, but oh well.
I feel like sometimes I come at things from like too much of a business mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, like, I totally understand why this would happen. But then also like I'm white, so I can't understand if I'm just like quote unquote flexing my privilege.
You are.
Maybe Tumblr was getting to me. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But
yeah, there you go. Death
did
Note.
You like Death Note?
I never finished it.
Really?
Yeah.
Neither did I. But, okay, why didn't you finish it?
I don't know. To be honest, I never really got into it.
I started watching it, and I thought that had a really great premise. And in my head, even then, I'm like, as long as this doesn't go, main character gets drunk with power,
it'll
and then goes nuts.
Yeah.
It'll be a great show.
Yeah.
And it was when main character gets drunk with power
and goes nuts.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm going to watch something else.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I've never actually finished it. Maybe I should read it before.
You know, I did watch the two Japanese movies.
Oh, did you? The live actions?
Yeah.
How were those?
They're pretty fun.
All right.
I watched them. But the person I watched them with, they watched the series.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, not as good.
Well, how are the Gurren Lagann movies?
Not as good.
There you go.
So, yeah. Oh, we should say, with Death Note, Willem Dafoe is Shinigami Man.
I thought that was good casting. Like, just really creepy voice.
That guy just looks like a villain.
Right?
Yeah.
And
he doesn't need makeup.
Thinking of, going back in video game terms, going to Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe as the villain.
I was thinking, I just remember when he was, the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
That too.
And I was like, perfect.
Perfect, right?
Perfect.
I think the most odd casting was when he was someone's friend in John Wick.
Oh, really?
Right? When he was John Wick.
Oh, and he's just like a good guy?
Yeah, he was just John Wick's friend. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah,
you're
Willem
Dafoe. You're supposed to be a
he's
dick.
He's the cool sniper. I think that's why I casted him, because he looks like a villain, so you don't expect him to be the friend,
okay.
Right?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But there you go, Death Note. Look forward to it.
Yeah, that was a funny trailer.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe I'll. It's a movie. I'll get through it. Who am I kidding?
It's on Netflix. It'll be the it thing to watch.
We also got a bunch of new superhero trailers.
Yeah.
First, we'll talk about what do you want to talk about? The League, or you want to talk about spiders?
What's about spiders?
You talk about spiders because he's your favorite.
All right, Spider-Man Homecoming. So this is the second trailer, Spider-Man Homecoming, and this one really kind of hammers home what this movie's theme is about, and it's basically, it's kind of like a father son movie, only
like estranged father.
Yeah, like Iron Man is trying to raise this up and coming kid, trying to teach him what to not make the mistakes that he has. It's almost like Spider-Man is getting his moral compass from Tony Stark, which is totally fucked.
Maybe Tony Stark has changed. I don't know.
No, he has.
Maybe. I don't know.
But in this film, it's like, Tony Stark is clearly aware that he is not a good person, and he's only trying to show Peter the good side of him.
Okay.
But Peter wants to do more. Peter wants to be like, I don't want to do street level. I want to be an Avenger. I want to save the universe like you guys.
Yeah.
And it is definitely the classic tale of the angsty teen who just wants to prove himself to the world. But there's no rush, bro. There's no rush, Spider-Man.
Yo, come on. Until there is a rush.
Yeah, there's no rush just yet. And in the meantime, Michael Keaton takes the role of the Vulture and, I don't know, robs and kills things.
Cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more interested in seeing it now.
Yeah, I felt that the new trailer had, like, it almost told you, like, the story twist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, really? In the trailer, you need this?
Yeah.
You need this whole switcheroo right here?
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
I think this is, like, the first Marvel film to do that with the trailers.
I don't know. I feel like maybe, like, Batman vs. Superman had that a lot, too.
That's
like,
not a Marvel film.
It's not a Marvel film, but it's a superhero film.
Yeah, but I think, like, the Marvel films have been really good at hiding...
Okay.
What their movies have been about in the trailers.
Yeah.
And that's why this one seems a bit surprising that they were like... Like, I think we know what's going to happen here. He's going to defeat that dude.
I feel like I got the outset of the whole story synopsis from that trailer.
Yeah.
So if you want to avoid spoilers, like, don't watch it.
Yeah.
But there's cool stuff, like, when you say it's, like, father-son kind of thing. He does have, like, Tony Stark does have those lines, like, I don't want you to be good, I want you to be better. And I'm like, whoa, dad, chill. Like, the heck. Or just, like, speeches of revelation, like, if you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't have the suit.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. Right? And I thought those were really cool lines, and those would have been really cool reveals.
Yeah.
If they didn't tell me it beforehand.
Yeah.
So
unless this movie's hiding something bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably, I hope so. I hope it is. Venom. Carnage. It's hiding Carnage.
No. The other superhero trailer we got was...
The League.
Yeah.
The League of Justice.
The Justice of Leagues.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that one?
They managed to make Aquaman cool.
They did.
Which I only thought would happen in the Injustice movies. Or the video game, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's cool. They made Aquaman cool. I really like that. He is
the coolest part of that trailer.
I forget his name.
Me too. Arthur.
Is his name Arthur?
Arthur King of Seas.
No, I thought it was something more. No, I don't think that's what it is.
Are you sure?
No, it's like something like Samoan.
What? It's not Arthur Curry?
No, it's not Arthur Curry. Are you sure? It's not John Smith either, before you get there.
No, I'm going to say it's Arthur Curry.
All right. And so we get to see pretty much every single character in action. Mm-hmm. I think the only part of that trailer that has me like kind of like, what the, is Cyborg.
Yeah.
Cyborg is fully CG, at least in the clips we saw.
Yeah.
Like, there is no practical costuming or makeup on him.
No.
And he looks out of place.
On top of that, I would say the reimagining of this Cyborg is, fuck it, he's Iron Man.
He's Iron Man where his one eye is not protected.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's kind of weird.
It's also disappointing.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, Superman's still dead. And it's them forming the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's going to be it's going to be a generic team movie. It seems like it's going to be, hey, I'm Batman, I'm the leader. I now have Wonder Woman or whatever. I need to figure out how to get these people together.
Mm-hmm.
And do what needs to be done.
Mm.
So, I hope that the movie has something again, like just like Spider-Man has something like deeper within it. But just from the outset, it's looking like a generic team movie.
Yeah, and let's be real, Superman will appear.
Yeah. If not during the movie, at the end, for sure.
Yeah, he'll appear. The movie had placed subtle hints at Batman being again, father figure to a Flash.
Yep.
So there's that to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting stuff.
I don't know what they're fighting.
I think it's the same things they're fighting in Batman versus Superman when Batman has that vision of the future.
Wait, like the guards?
I think. Or when Flash comes from the future to tell them about.
Oh, okay, those ones. Okay, yeah. Okay. I wonder if they'll loop that around.
I think they will.
Or if the Flash will have his own movie. Like, he'll have his own Flashpoint.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I think right now what DC needs to do is where Marvel is very lightly, like, they have established the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think to differentiate themselves, I think DC needs to go wholeheartedly into their dumb comic stuff. I'm not saying you should bring out, like, a cosmic treadmill, but I'm saying that, hey, maybe, like, the Flash can vibrate through walls and stuff, and, like, he can run so fast he breaks the time barrier.
Yeah, he does that all in the TV show.
Right? Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think they should embrace that within the movies.
Yeah. I think the current theory is that one of the universes is the movieverse and one of the universes is the TV-verse.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of dumb things, you know what the next big thing Marvel is teasing?
What?
Hulk with Wolverine's claws.
What? Wait, in the comics?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. But it's because...
Is it another like Hulk event?
I can't remember. I know Wolverine's dead in the comics right now.
Okay.
And Hulk might be. I can't remember. Anyways, they just show a silhouette, and it's basically the Hulk, but he has the adamantium skeleton, and he has the claws coming out.
What?
Yeah, right. Like, what's the point?
How does that... Okay, I want to know, because Bruce Banner has to transform into the Hulk.
Yeah.
Wolverine is always Wolverine.
Yeah.
What happens to that adamantium skeleton when it goes back into Bruce Banner, and he doesn't have the healing factor to stop adamantium poisoning?
You know, I don't
and
know.
And as I said that, I realized that is the dumbest question I've ever asked.
Yeah.
Because it was super nerdy.
Let's just say he's always going to be the Hulk.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
World War Hulk was really cool, and he was always the Hulk.
Yeah. That or was it that he separated from the Hulk? Like, the Hulk was his own entity or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, or like the Hulk took over Bruce Banner, and now he, like, Bruce Banner has no control.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Cool. Last thing is a video game teaser.
Teaser?
For your favorite game this generation.
Destiny the sequel.
No.
Destiny. It should have been called Destiny. That would have been great.
Like Destoon.
Or it should have just been Destiny : something. Because Destiny 2 sounds dumb.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It sounds like a title.
I don't know. There's something about Destiny where I'm just like, that should be by itself.
No, it's fine.
Like, this is my second Destiny. I've had my Destiny already.
Sure.
Here's my other Destiny.
Is that like Reborn 2?
That's also stupid.
Yeah, works.
The Reborning.
Yeah, see? It's fine. No. Destiny 2, whatever.
Whatever. I've learned that titles are stupid, and you'll get over it.
Listen, yes. They bear no consequence on your actual enjoyment of whatever it is.
The Vita.
The Wii.
The PlayStation.
Nah, that's pretty good.
That
is pretty
good. The Xbox.
No, that's excellent. That's excellent.
It's excellent.
Yeah, you got it.
Damn.
See?
Rolling out those puns.
Yeah, so there you go.
But yeah, it didn't show anything. It showed Nathan Fillion's character
talking
doing up. A hot monologue.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should take that as the game having a more comical tone. Like, from that teaser, it seems like it's going real Guardians of the Galaxy with it.
Yeah.
But that could also be that character, because that character in Destiny was all that.
Yeah. Some might say he's the best part of that game.
As someone who played Destiny longer than I did,
yeah.
What do you want from a Destiny 2?
I just wanted to expand the world.
Like, you don't want the little isolated zones?
Like, I just want them to expand the world, because there's tons of lore, there's tons of interesting things, and I want to be able to have more of a focus on exploration.
Okay.
Like, if they just Breath of the Wild Destiny... I'd be super happy with
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, if they kept the shooting mechanics, and yeah, we can go to the PvP arena zone. That's cool.
Yeah.
And, like, but I just want, like...
Like, having a useful reason for vehicles and stuff?
Yeah, like, because the worlds in that were just nothing more than a giant kill box.
Yeah, it might as well have been, like, a Diablo map.
Yeah. Like, even, I would have even rather taken just, like, a very structured corridor shooter, like Halo, because at least I kept moving, I kept seeing new things.
They had a lot of corridors.
Yeah, but it was awful. It wasn't good. It wasn't as good.
Yeah.
I just want them to do that. Like, give me something more along the lines of that. Like, build out the world. Like, when I go land on Earth, I don't want to just stay in this broken part ass of Russia. I want to go around the Earth.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I think I want like just a more fleshed out single player, or just the whole game's technically you can play it single player.
Yeah.
But like lore.
Yeah.
Right? Like it had this whole thing of like there is the traveler and these dudes you can revive
and do stuff with.
And it's the world was set up to be cool.
Yep.
And they did nothing with it.
Yep.
And I was very disappointed.
Yep.
And all the cool stuff was hidden in like that Destiny app.
Yep.
Right. You had to link your account with the Destiny app and then you unlocked like codexes to read. Like, no, explain that to me.
Yeah.
Right. It was the Final Fantasy 13 problem of like, what's a Lissy and a Falsy? Oh, read the codex. No, I'm not going to do that. Your game's bad.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah, that's what I want. I would also say I would love more differentiation on the classes and the factions.
Okay.
Because, you know, in the first game, it was like, why do I pick this faction? So that I could buy their gun.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish there was a reason why I sided with somebody. And I wish that...
And the loyalty to stay to one faction wasn't really anything,
right? I wish that, like, you know, the three classes that are there are cool, but I wish they were way, like, more specialized.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like... Because essentially you could get away with anything with any class.
It was first-person shooter, except sometimes you had a flaming hammer and sometimes you shot lightning from your hands.
Exactly, and I just wish it just, you know, you had a bit more than that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Obviously more.
Maybe
more
like loot. A skill tree?
Yeah.
Or do you want like Borderlands specking?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that would be cool. Like if there's a game to invest a bunch of hours in, I would like to be able to build a character.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah, just I guess what you want out of Destiny is just more of everything.
Because it had less of everything in the first game.
It was like, this is... The thing about Destiny is like you start it and you're like, oh, imagine what this game is going to be like at the end when everything unlocks. But it never gets there.
Everything unlocks and you're like, imagine what it could be with 7 more expansions. And even then, it still didn't get there.
Yeah.
Fuck, that game sucked.
I am excited for the sequel because, you know, it was everything. I remember, like, everyone was saying this when the first one came out. It was like, imagine the sequel.
No! The game should have been good from the get-go.
I mean...
That's like, listening to you talk about Destiny is listening to my friends talk about Final Fantasy 15. They're like, no, they're going to release a new Chapter 13. It'll be better. It's like, it's too late. I finished it. I'm not playing it again.
I don't know. See, because I had the same thought about Titanfall. Like, I loved the first Titanfall, but make no mistake, imagine the sequel.
But Titanfall was always here. They always told you from the jump, this is multiplayer.
Yeah.
And that multiplayer was fucking baller.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was.
So, yeah. Like, there's a difference between wanting a sequel for a game that's already hot, and there's a difference between wanting a sequel for a game that's full of broken promises.
Yeah, that's true. I think that Destiny definitely towards where it is now is still pretty good for what it is. Like, if I were to jump into Destiny today having never played it, I don't think I would have been as pissed as I was.
I don't think that game is hot garbage,
but
I think it is regular garbage.
I see. I don't go that low.
Like, I think it's a nice, cool fall day, and it's just like a regular garbage can filled with not smelly garbage.
I don't know.
But, like, if it was hot garbage, it'd be like a dumpster in the middle of summer.
See, I want to agree with you, but, like...
And fish.
I don't know if there's a game out recently where I like the, like, shooting mechanics better. Or just, like, the feel of that game.
Really?
As much as I like Overwatch.
Even, like, Halo 5?
It's not better than Halo 5, no.
No, you think Destiny's better than Halo 5?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the way that game feels? Totally.
Mm. I really enjoyed the Halo 5 shooting in that game. Maybe I haven't played Destiny in a while. Maybe I should go back and check it. But I don't remember it being anything spectacular.
I remember it being like, oh, this is where Halo was supposed to go. And that's why it feels fucking great.
Because
it was like, we gave you a jump jet. We gave you some abilities. And like, even the way that they had their abilities, it was like you had such limited abilities to do, but every time you used one, you always felt like you knew what was going to happen. Like, and I never questioned it. It was like, it was the type of game where, like, if I died, it's like, yeah, that was my fault. I know. Like,
okay.
You know, and like, they super nailed
it. It never felt cheap. Like,
exactly,
I'll say that.
Yeah. Even just like the recoil on the guns, like when they told you, like, this one is fast, but it's going to be spread. Like, you understood what that meant, and it reflected well when you were pressing the buttons and shit.
It's no akimbo shotguns in Modern Warfare 2?
It's not that. Okay, no, right, no. Right. No, I never got that sense of euphoria, but no.
All right. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. But yeah, I think the only way I'm going to get Destiny 2 is if I just overwhelmingly hear from people that this game is great. Like, I am not there day one.
What if a copy just shows up on your door?
Then I didn't buy it, so it's fine.
Oh, but you'll play it.
I'll play it.
All right, sounds good. All right.
I won't spend money on it.
All right, that's okay. That's fine.
All right.
I'll just tell your dad.
He won't buy it.
You'll see. You'll see. You'll see. I'll get him to do it. Don't you worry.
All right.
Cool. I think that's it for our picks.
Yeah, it was a pretty packed week.
Yeah, because, man, like, we're approaching an hour now.
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about our weeks, and thankfully I don't have a lot to go through.
Okay.
So, Mass Effect Andromeda, I played a little bit.
Are the facial animations as weird as they look?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, they are.
But, like, what, like, how far have you got? How much have you played?
Like 2 hours.
2 hours? Okay. Like, did you get, like, off the starting area? Or are you still tutorialing? Or?
Yep.
Damn, 2 hours of tutorial?
No, I've been moving real slow.
Oh, okay.
This is one of those games where it's like, I want to look at everything.
You want to talk to everybody?
Yeah, I want to go through all the options.
I heard the pictures that accompany dialogue wheel choices are hilarious.
Yeah.
There was one about sex, and it's literally a finger pushing through a hole.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember Mass Effect 1?
Yeah, that game was great.
A lot of people like... So Mass Effect 1 is the most polarizing Mass Effect because it is the one that is definitely half RPG, half action game.
Yep.
And from there, Mass Effect went on into more action game, and that's when it got super popular.
Yep.
What if I told you in another reality, Mass Effect went more RPG?
That sounds great.
But it kept the bugs from Mass Effect 1.
That sounds terrible.
That's Mass Effect Andromeda.
Aw, man.
Mass Effect, so on its own, I would say Mass Effect Andromeda is a great game from what I've played. It's just that Mass Effect 1 came out 10 years ago, and this feels like it came out 10 years ago.
Yo, you know what that means?
What?
Mass Effect 1 is retro.
No. It's not two gens behind.
Or not 10 years or two gens.
Oh. Mass Effect 1 came out in September.
So you still got a couple more months until...
Yeah. I remember, because I bought that game. I was super pumped for it, and no one was talking about it.
Yeah, and Mass Effect 1, I think Mass Effect 1 is great.
Yeah. Right? That's the impression I get from it, and I have no doubt that, like, in a couple months with patches and whatnot, it'll get better. But at the moment, it's the bugs and stuff, they might be there to put you off, but... Or if you really like Mass Effect... Kind of still going to be into it, because at the end of the day, it's still Mass Effect.
I still think that bothers me today.
What?
That when people say, just wait for a couple patches, then it'll be good.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm your diehard fan, if I'm someone that's excited to play this game day one,
yeah.
Why would you do me like that? Why'd you do me like that, bro?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to be the one playing it on day one. I'm going to feel that shitty experience, and it's going to be a negative impact on your main consumer.
Yeah, for sure. It is that way. The bugginess, like, personally, it doesn't bug me because it's single player.
Bug you.
It does make a difference in the multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where I spent most of my time.
So is it still Horde mode?
It is, and it's way more class-focused. But it's a couple cool abilities.
Is it player class? Player fucking class?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Like, there's different classes, but it's not like you need to have all different classes to win.
Okay.
You just got to be good. But it's heavily gear-based. So the more time you put into it, the better you are.
Or put hot dollars into that game.
You could totally buy
all right.
stuff. It's all about booster packs and whatnot.
Okay. Are there, like, burn cards? Like, one-time use? Yep. Oh, this thing, you can get a boost. Yep. Okay, wow. Yep,
there are.
There's Jesus.
Double XP cards. There's all, you name it, it's there.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish there's only 4 maps, which at the moment is fine. I assume, like, they've said that, like, they'll get more maps eventually, but like the 4 trips with are fine. it is super buggy in multiplayer, and I think that's the biggest problem. Like, if it was just stable, I think it would be great. But there's enough, like, you're just warping around places.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes your stealth doesn't work.
Does it feel like it's the game, or does it feel like it's a server side thing?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Like, you could tell there's lag happening. Like, there's a couple moments where, like, there's no hit confirm here. There's just nothing.
Yeah.
And then you'll be warping. And then other times, it's just like, the game's kind of got buggy controls. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, so that's a bit of a bummer. But yeah, so far, I'm into it, at least the single player. We'll see where we go from there. I'll definitely finish it. No worries. Next thing is Overwatch. Arisa's now in competitive play. She's my new main.
So in our Google Doc, you put Orisa.
Yeah.
And that just reminds me, if anybody out there has played Clock Tower 3, your main character is his name, Alyssa.
Oh.
And whenever someone is trying to get you, it's always Alyssa. That's all I was saying. Like, as soon as you posted in the doc, I was like, Alyssa.
Yeah, no, Arisa's is really fun. She's great at where I'm currently at in competitive, which is platinum.
Okay.
Just because, like, her only weaknesses are flankers, which are Genji and Tracer.
Yeah.
And at that rank, it's very rare that you come across a really good flanker.
Okay.
So she definitely works in many, many different scenarios. And I just have a lot of fun playing her because her kit is just very varied.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of things you can do with her. That gravity ball, once you get good at it, like, it is...
It seems really versatile, like just pulling people out of corners, grouping people together for ults.
Watching people you could just ring out people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could just pull them off the edge.
I didn't think about that either.
A lot of Overwatch characters have nothing. Most of the characters have no answer to that. Like, you pull them off an edge, what are they going to do?
How do you fight gravity?
Exactly. Like, right. Tracer can do it if she has a recall. Yeah. Like,
it's also the same thing with a Lucio. Mm-hmm. Like, if you hit him with the shock blast, like the alternate fire, like, what are you going to do against that? And you just get blown into the air.
Yeah, so, like Orisa's really fun. I love her shield. Her gun is amazing. I mean, it's not hit scan, but it fires fast enough that you get used to the lead out to it. And it's like, you could take down Pharah's in the air. So that's fun. So that Overwatch has been great. But I'm only doing like a couple of matches, like a day, like one or two.
Okay.
Just because I'm waiting for an event.
Trying to maximize those loot boxes?
Kinda. Right. And then the last thing I did is, remember Top Gear?
I do.
Remember how
they're on Amazon now.
No, that's the Grand Tour.
Oh, sorry, the Grand Tour, my bad.
I'm talking about Top Gear.
Oh, with Matt LeBlanc?
With Chris Evans.
And Matt LeBlanc?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they tried to reboot Top Gear, and it kind of was like a little hit or miss.
Yeah. Well, didn't Chris Evans leave?
Yeah, so they rebooted it again. This time it's Matt LeBlanc and his two young cohorts.
Who are they?
Chris Harris and Rory something.
I don't know who any of those people are.
They're known in
the Britain. Car world?
Yeah, and in Britain.
Okay.
But I really like them. They really know their stuff. And it's definitely all three of them. They revamped the studio. They kind of revamped a little bit of the structure of the show. And it definitely feels like they're trying to make it their own. It's not like, oh, we're going to try to bolt in three new hosts to replace the old ones in the same format. No. They really tried to make it their own. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. Like, it's fun. Like, definitely it is not the Grand Tour, and it doesn't feel like it. But they still try and cover the same sort of topics with the same sort of tone, and it's very entertaining.
So the thing that kind of put me off of wanting to watch the first rebooted Top Gear is you saying that they're trying to capture what the old Top Gear was with new people.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, all that's going to do is set me up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Right? It's just going to be like, hey, this is like here. Remember all those people you used to love?
Yeah.
They're still here. No, they're not.
Yeah.
Right? And so now that you're saying that this is like kind of.
Yeah,
it's the same format, but their own spin on it. Yeah. That sounds pretty great.
Yeah, you know, like when you watch the Grand Tour or the old Top Gear, it's like you're watching because you're like, oh, these are the Three Stooges in the car world. This one, like the new Top Gear is not that. It is, these are two really hip, I'm not going to say hip, but younger, way more like serious into cars and an American.
Okay.
And their dynamic is completely different.
Oh,
and that makes it right. That makes it more exciting to watch, because it's like, yes, the type of content they're putting out is the same, but you're getting it from different people now.
And also, I assume the banter would be
totally different.
Not only totally different, but more interesting, because it's not three Brits.
Yeah.
Like, you have people who grew up in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And will have a different perspective on cars.
Yeah, and it totally helps that Matt LeBlanc is known for his role as Joey on Friends.
Yeah.
And, like, that he is the Hollywood A-lister.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that plays into it. And it's very interesting to see.
All right. I sidetrack. You ever watch his show Episodes?
His show?
Yeah, where he plays himself.
The parody of himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried watching the first couple of episodes.
Okay, I like that show a lot.
I heard it's really good. Funny. It's ending soon, though.
I heard. Yeah. Well, he's got Top Gear now.
Yeah, that's true. He does get that, yeah. But no, I definitely even recommend, like, if anything, you know, before it was like, every year I would look forward to one season of Top Gear. Now it's like, I got Top Gear and the Grand Tour. Like, it's a win-win.
Okay.
Like, if you love cars, but you don't, like, watch them in, like, the super hardcore serious mode, and you want to see them do, like, all these cool challenges and fun stuff, definitely watch it. I mean, like, because at the same time, they're also still backed by the BBC, and the BBC has limitless funding.
True.
And yeah, this most recent episode, they got to take out the new Bugatti, the Chiron.
Oh, really?
They were the only ones who were able to do it.
Wow.
Do you remember how I told you Ferrari has a super VIP mode,
yep,
where, like, they have cars that only they keep?
Yeah.
They have that one, but it's for the LaFerrari version.
Oh.
And you know what they called it?
What?
So the previous ones they called, like, the Enzo one, they called the FXX.
Yep.
So for the LaFerrari, because it's a hybrid, and hybrid stands for, like, it's like kinetic energy, they called it the FXXK. So on the car, it just says fuck.
That's great.
Yeah. So you see this red Ferrari that just says fuck on the side.
It's not some dude's vanity license.
No, it's fucking Ferrari.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's next to a horse, probably.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Terrible.
It's pretty good.
All right, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
How many episodes are these? They're one episode out, or
They're on episode 4. I didn't realize it came back in the beginning of March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're on episode 4. Just aired this week.
And weekly.
Weekly.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah, check it out.
Cool. I did little bits of stuff here and there, but still more League.
Good.
Like, I'm debating on installing it again. Just like, it's like an abusive partner. Just like, no, it still loves me. It's fine.
Oh my.
It's okay. I'm just stuck. I'm having the syndrome where I feel like I'm playing well, but my teammates are holding me back.
Oh no.
I feel like a chump. I feel like, no. And like, hearing myself have, whoa, I almost fell off my chair.
Yeah.
Feeling myself have that mindset, I feel like an asshole.
Are you an ELO hell?
I don't want to say that.
Are you an ELO hell?
No, I feel like if I say it, I am. And if I ever say those, like, I'm getting the sports superstition. Like, I can't eat pasta on Thursdays because it'll make my team lose. What? Right? I don't want to say certain things because I don't want to jinx certain things.
Oh my god, okay.
But I'm experimenting with other classes, and I've been having some
amazing time with it.
Like, I'm having really fun times, right? The champs, I still think, are the most fun to play.
Yeah.
They're getting results.
Okay.
But the thing is that I play a lot of champions that aren't in the meta. So when I team up with other people, they don't know how to work with me or around me.
Or they just yell at you.
Or they, like, what will happen is that they just yell at me.
Yeah.
And I still have to say that League of Legends has the worst community, period.
Okay.
Like, outside of video games, comics, out of any form of media, I feel that League of Legends is the worst community, period.
Nice.
Like, there is no redeeming quality to that community.
Yeah.
It's just shit all the time.
I believe
you. Yeah, it's come to the point where I just don't deal with it anymore. As soon as I see one person flaming, even not even me, like someone else, I just immediately muted. Like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. Because it actually makes me angry.
Ah.
Like, normally that kind of stuff, like, water off a duck's back. Like, no problems. But when you get it every single match, right, it's the waves. They're coming in, and then all of a sudden you're deeper in the waves.
Yeah.
And then it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, like, The game, it's weird. The game's super fun. The people I play it with suck. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch a movie. I watched Equilibrium.
Okay.
It is, so I've always seen Equilibrium. If you ever heard the term gun kata,
yep.
That is where this came from.
Mm-hmm.
It is an old Christian Bale movie from the early aughts. And it is the most generic setup for a movie I've ever heard of. Imagine a world where emotion was holding people back. Because it started a third world war. And after that, America decided, hey, emotions are illegal.
Oh my God.
So the whole populace has to take these drugs to suppress their emotions.
What are you going on about?
And all art, culture, music is banned.
Oh my God.
And if you harbor paintings like the Mona Lisa, for example, you are committing a sense crime, which is punishable by immediate execution.
Wow.
Right? So then here comes Christian Bale.
Mm.
Christian Bale is an arbiter. He is the top brass. He is the best in the business at finding art, finding things that cause emotions, and destroying them.
Wow.
Right?
This guy sounds like a badass.
He's a badass. And he uses gun cotter to fight.
Okay.
Right. The movie is so generic, and but it's got this magical timing with it where gun kata, they describe it in the movie as moving in such a way with your body and your guns so that you have the minimum amount of hit radius when in a gunfight,
yeah,
but the maximum amount of kill zone.
Wow.
Right? So you're moving and like yoga posing yourself in ways where you're just always two headshotting people at the same time.
Did they actually say gun kata?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. Right? And it's just a bunch of people in a training hall doing like half karate with guns.
I mean, that sounds good.
It's so dumb. But this movie has this magical timing where every single time there's story, it starts to grain on you.
Uh-oh.
And just when you think you've had enough,
yeah,
and you're like, I'm going to shut this movie off. I'm done. Action. And it's like the coolest action you've seen. It's totally staged. Like Christian Bale does a good job of trying to make it look as good as it can. But there are certain scenes where like he'll slap a gun, like a shotgun out of someone's hands.
Yes.
Right. And the gun, without moving left or right, will just spin perfectly in a 180 axis in the middle. Like, gravity doesn't exist. And the gun will be turned on the other guy and will shoot him in the face.
Wow.
Right? There's just, like, really dumb stuff like that. But they do really fun, really close quarters gun combat. The kind of stuff that, I don't know, you ever play Devil May Cry?
Yeah.
Right? You ever get, like, the two boss characters going at it, like Dante and a boss character?
Mm-hmm.
They're really close. It's that kind of stuff where, like, they're shooting pretty much point blank at each other's faces, but they're dodging their...
Yeah.
Like, they're dodging and they're moving hands in a way where it'll just miss.
Mm.
Right? And they have a lot of cool stuff like that.
Mm.
The movie, again, the story, nothing to write home about, but the things they invent,
yeah,
to make action scenes work.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about weighted gun clips.
Okay.
Right? So imagine a gun clip with a weight on the bottom. I mean, you know, like those punching dolls? You know Teddy from the Persona 4?
Yeah.
Like the little ones where you bop it and it comes back up?
Yeah.
So imagine that, but on a gun clip.
Why?
So you could throw those into a hallway. So after you've unloaded all your guns, you do a front flip dodging gunfire and you can reload on the floor.
Oh.
It's so stupid. But it's so stupid, but it's great. It's on Netflix. I think it's a fun watch. I think you should watch it.
Wow.
It's the dumbest shit.
Okay.
It's so good. And just like seeing young Christian Bale, and you're like, man, you're Batman. Like, no wonder you're Batman. It's pretty funny. And then the other thing I did was I started playing old games again, and me and my friend got into a competitive Hydro Thunder competition.
Mm.
Hydro Thunder for the youngins. It's an old arcade game.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, it's an old arcade game where you're in a boat and it's like high speed boat racing, and there's like it's a midway game. So think of, I think the most modern equivalent would be something like Split Second or Burnout Paradise, even more so than Burnout Paradise. That levels are just made to look ridiculous and be like these eye catching things, like you're jumping off. Here, oh, this level is New York that was leveled by a volcano that randomly grew, and now you can water race.
Mm.
Awesome, right? And it's supposed to be like high speed action all the time. So me and my friend just got into a thing. It's like we're gonna go on each track and try and get the best times possible, right. And then we'll report back and we'll be like, hey, what time did you get? What time did you get? What time did you get? And so I'm playing on the N64. Reminder: the N64 controller is probably the worst controller ever made.
Mm-hmm.
That controller sucks.
Mm.
But I got to deal with it. And I forgot how much I love that game. I really like those old style midway, like Rush, like San Francisco Rush.
And stuff Rush like 2049
that. Rush 2049 is great.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Your car grows wings and you could stunt.
Yeah.
Right? So like that's actually I was talking about to my friend. I was like, man, all this game makes me want to do is buy a copy of Rush.
Mm.
Like I want to find a nice copy of Rush. But it's really fun. It's one of those things where I don't think you would like going back to it.
No,
you would not. No. But I really like high scores. I really like leaderboards and having that old school competitiveness. It's like me and my friend are having our own leaderboards pretty much.
I see.
Right? And I'm trying to put my three-letter initial above his three-letter initial.
I think the only game I would do that with is F-Zero.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Like any of them or...
Yeah, GX? Probably Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really like that game a lot. It's so, quote, extreme, unquote, right? You just hear the announcer, like, whenever you find a shortcut, like, oh, you found a shortcut. Good job. Or, like, the police are always after you.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Right? They're just like, you can't illegally boat race here, blah, blah, blah. You're, like, jumping over dams. You're knocking trains. Like, your boat is indestructible. You're knocking helicopters out of the air.
Yeah.
You're, like, pretty much the Niagara Falls, like, tour boat. Is in one of the levels, and like you could just run through that.
Aww.
Right? And then the boost works, if you don't remember, it's like there's boost icons,
mm-hmm.
and you get seconds of boost. If you get a blue one, it's 4 seconds, and if you get a red one, it's 9 seconds. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing of the race is finding the optimal route to get the most boosts while still keeping a clean track turn.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's behind every waterfall, there is a hidden shortcut. So very N64, behind every waterfall, there is a secret. Mm-hmm. So. It's both a nostalgia trip and just fun. I really like Hydro Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I think it held up as an arcade racer.
Cool.
So yeah, that's been the new stuff in my week.
Neato. No Kamen Rider this week.
Nope.
But I do have one more thing I want to talk about very quickly.
Tell me all about it.
I finally got the curse of the Breath of the Wild off my back.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you get all 120 tries?
No, but I beat the game.
Okay.
That final boss.
Oh, okay. If you don't want to hear Breath of the Wild spoilers, the podcast ends now.
Yeah.
Peace. Peace out. See you next week. We got Kamen Rider for you next week.
Yeah.
I want to talk full spoilers about Breath of the Wild. So okay. I want to give the audience their chance to bow out.
Okay.
All right. If you want to follow us, we got the Facebook page. We got the Twitter that just regurgitates the Facebook page. So, 3 years in the basement.
Yeah.
You can follow Vince on Twitter, too.
Yeah, I'm somewhere.
Yeah, you're at Vince Sanchez, and I'm at Kilroy Can't Kill.
Yeah.
So, that's it. Game over. It is now time. I gave you your chance. It is now Zelda Breath of the Wild talk.
Okay.
Go.
Man.
Okay, first, before you get to the final boss... What did you think of Hyrule Castle?
So I explored Hyrule Castle, like the back end of it, very, very extensively earlier on in the game.
Okay.
So Hyrule Castle is cool. Pretty cool setting.
I think that's the only thing that feels, the only thing in the game that feels like a classic Zelda dungeon.
Yeah.
Like there are no puzzles, really.
But the exploration factor.
But yeah.
So that's what's fun. I guess I'm a bit bummed out that, like, I didn't have to go through a dungeon to get to Ganon.
Okay.
I walked up to the castle door, opened it, and I saw all these waterfalls. I'm like, I'm just gonna waterfall my way up.
Swim up this shit.
And so I did. And then there's the main entrance, mm-hmm. and you see it, and I'm like, okay, that must be, you know, the starting to this path to Ganon. And you walk in, and it's like, nope.
Here he is.
Boss mode. And I'm like, oh, that's it? And I kind of was super bummed out by that.
So I did the long way around. I saw those waterfalls.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I want to farm parts.
Oh, for the things.
For the ancient armor guardian? And stuff. Yeah, I want to farm guardians. Yeah. So I went through the whole, I went in the main entrance. Yeah. I walked up the main path.
Yeah.
I went through all the, I fought all the Lynels.
Yeah.
Right. And so that felt more like a dungeon to me. But it also felt more of like a trial of combat
thing. Yeah.
And less like a Zelda dungeon.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect me in like a negative way. By the time I got to the game, and I was like, okay, that was like a trial. It's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing else in the game has been like this. So.
Yeah. So yeah.
Been like classic Zelda.
Right. So you get in and the way the boss intros himself is super cool.
It gets birthed.
Yeah. And then the way they frame the scene of his face in your face and then his name appears.
Yeah.
And his name is Calamity Ganon. And you're like, oh shit.
He looks, the thing was, the design lives up to the name.
Yeah,
you're when you hear about Calamity Ganon, like, hot damn.
Yeah, and you see him and you're like, yeah, no, you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yep. Understand.
Yeah. And that fight, I saw his life bar and I'm like, oh man, okay, cool, let's get this show rolling. And then because I got all the shrines, it goes halfway mode.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's cool.
That was cool, like it just shot, like it rained lasers on him.
Yeah, and so then you get to fight him with half life. And one swipe of the Master Sword, and I'm like, oh no, he has a lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is going to be a while, or at least I thought it would be. But I just fucking stun-locked him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Like, it was a combination of static.
Okay.
The static ability. When that was charging, I used the ability that does the thunder. When you charge up your weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I used that and locked him again. And I kept doing that until he got to the final phase where he goes all fire and shoots beams at you.
And he's like, yeah, he's all like immortal. But the thing is, the lightning still works in that phase.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
that was the thing. In the boss fight where he becomes like invincible or whatever, the Goron temple. I never actually figured out how to take that armor off him, because all I did was like, I just waited until move was done and I lightninged him and he fell to the ground. That's all I did.
Oh,
I just ran in circles for like 10 minutes and I was like, I don't know how to do this, fuck it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like, I don't know how to do that, so that's what I did for the final boss too. And it worked.
Yeah, so I did that. So when he turned into all fire mode,
mm-hmm.
he shot lasers at me. So I was like, this is easy.
Perfect guard?
I just perfect guarded him. And then it went down, and I'm like, that's it? And I was like, oh, okay. I'm assuming there's a phase two. And sure enough, there's a phase two.
Where he's Beast Ganon.
And I gotta say, the atmosphere and the visualization of that entire boss mode was amazing.
Yeah.
But actually, what you have to do was so boring.
Yo, hit the weak spots.
Oh, like, Zelda's like, by the way, here's the Bow of Light.
It's got all, look at this attack damage. You should probably use it.
You don't need arrows anymore.
Yeah, just you shoot courage.
When he gets weak randomly, you don't even have to hit him. Just shoot him in the spots and do it. That was super dull.
Yeah.
And at the last one, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to shoot him with the arrow. Because the last one opens up in, like, his forehead, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm diving in with the Master Sword.
Okay.
So...
Does it not let you do it?
No, it lets you do it.
Oh!
It took me forever!
Does the cutscene change?
No, but, like, you know how it just ends with you... It just ends with you froze, like... When you beat him, like, you know how, like, everything freezes?
Yeah.
And he dies? You're just there with the sword holding out
on his head. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then it does the whole light animation.
Alright.
But yeah, so the actual, like... The actual boss fight, I was kind of really bummed out about. I was like, that's it?
I thought Calamity Ganon, separate from aesthetics, was the weakest part of that game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I guess for me, like, I was thinking about the castle in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, like, that's awesome!
Yeah, we're like, you gotta go through this castle, and then you gotta fight Ganon. And Ganon has, like, a specific sequence, right? You have the mirror shield, you have the shooting back the light ball, right?
I don't know. Light volleyball wasn't the greatest.
No, but it was. It felt like this boss fight was more than just hit him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The light arrow, whatever. Then you go hookshot to him so you could beat on his face.
Yep.
And hookshot back. And then when you beat him, you got to run down that castle. With this one, it was just like, somehow you get out of the castle.
You warp.
Yeah.
You do the boss warp.
I felt so lazy to me.
So the thing I thought that game or the final boss battle was weak.
Yeah.
Was that nothing I did in the other dungeons.
Yeah.
Culminated to something that happened in the boss fight other than me getting a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
Right? I got half life.
Yeah.
Whereas in, again, Ocarina of Time, we'll use that as an example. Stuff I get from other people, I feel that Hyrule has helped me defeat him, right? I got the hook shot, I got the bombs, I got the mirror shield, I got all this stuff from other people in this breathing, living world, and it all culminated in this final battle.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, like, I could, if it wasn't for three hearts, I could have beat him from the get-go.
I feel like I could have beat him with three hearts, because I also went into this fight with 10 fully cooked 5 durians.
Oh, really?
So each one of those gives me plus 20 hearts.
Oh, okay.
So, like, life was never an issue for me.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
You never used Mipha's Grace?
No. Oh, man. I never needed it. So, yeah, it was pretty simple. Well, that was kind of a bummer. The actual ending to the game, I wish it was there's more to it.
I thought it was also disappointing.
Yeah.
The way I wanted that game to end, I thought would have been really cool, and they didn't do it.
What?
Which is, dude, you've been asleep for a fucking 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it to be Zelda's literal last breath.
Yeah.
Is sealing Calamity Ganon.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why is she still your age?
Yeah.
Like, what is she? Where she's in, like, some magic time chamber?
Probably.
Right? Like, it would have been awesome if Zelda revealed herself. She was just a fucking old lady, right? And she's just like, I have been holding out for you this whole day. I truly believed you would come for me, right? And then, like, final moments, Seal Ganon dies in your arms.
Mm.
But again, it's a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
And
it sort of ends, and it's like, now you and me are going to go on our adventure.
We're going to have a honeymoon.
And it's just like, okay, that's cute. And, like, Zelda does, like, the cute anime girl thing of, like...
Yeah.
Smiling. And,
we're back together.
Yeah. And they're like, we're going to rebuild Hyrule. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's a very generic ending. I don't know what I expected from it.
Yeah.
I just felt like the way the world was that, like, I just wish there was something different.
Yeah.
Right? The rest of Zelda is so much different from previous Zeldas.
Yeah.
For the story to be almost exactly the same was very disappointing.
You know how in Mass Effect 3 people hated that ending?
Yeah.
And I could never relate to that. Mm. I feel like now I understand what they meant, what they were feeling with this game.
Okay, and what?
In the sense that, like, I felt super robbed by this super, like, pretty generic
ending. Oh, okay, all right.
Right? But I think it's more to the fact that, like, because it clearly goes on, this game. Like, it...
Yeah.
Like, it goes on and it doesn't really change the world. It's just...
Now, like, moblins are still there.
Yeah.
Now, like, just the guardians are gone.
Yeah.
Right? There's still bad shit happening.
Yeah. But, oh well.
Do you think you're going to go back and get all the shrines?
No.
No, really?
No.
I'm at about 90-something now. Mm. I heard there's 120.
Yep.
So, I think I'm going to try for them. Not all the seeds.
No. You don't want all 900?
I don't want all 900 seeds. I'm out.
All right.
Right? But I still have a lot of fun exploring that world. Like, even after the game started, even after you get that clear save. Just, like, checking out new places I've never seen before. Checking out where weird shrines are, figuring out puzzles and stuff.
Yeah. Beating the game for me did the thing that I thought it would do, and that is... I don't know if I'll go back to it.
It's done?
Yeah. Like, I'm okay now. I mean, like, make no mistake, before I beat it, I did do most everything I wanted to do.
Yeah, your trying count was way up there. And didn't you say, like, your final game clock was, like, 60 hours?
Yeah. I think on the thing it says 65, maybe even 70. So, yeah, like, I did do a lot, and I feel like I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's a long time to spend with the game.
Yeah.
Was there anything you wanted more of in that game? Like anything that maybe you wanted more fleshed out story-wise, gameplay-wise, anything, like, because we've talked on and on about how great it is. Like, I kind of want to get into, like, kind of what maybe bothered us.
I do think, like, it would have been neat if there were a bit more structured events to it.
Okay. Like Tarrytown?
No. You know how when you first meet, what's his face? The Zora Prince.
Oh, Sidon?
Yeah, and he makes you go through through the whole hike to get to Zora thing.
Yeah.
I wish there was, like, you know how, like, that was structured? Like, you go a couple places, then he shows up, like,
hey, Gabe, what's up?
I wish there was more just things like that in the world. You know, like, because I felt like, other than that, I felt like I was kind of just wandering around and arriving at places at my own leisure.
Especially in the Ruto dungeon.
Yeah.
Where you go to Ruto Village, and they're like, yo, homeboy's at the archery range. You shoot 5 targets, and they're like, okay, let's go beat the boss. And it's like, what? Yeah. What just happened? I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
There's no backstory here.
Yeah, like, I do wish, like, I had a bit more scripted scenarios, is what I'll say.
Okay.
You know? I don't think, like, that would... Like, I get it. They tried to be like, no, it's open world. You gotta do it at your own pace. But sometimes it's nice to have, you know...
Also, the Zoro thing was a perfect way to combine both.
Yeah.
Right? You got to a point, and it's like, hey, but you're still in this world. Like, I didn't follow that path the whole way.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of times where I just climbed on top of a mountain and just paraglided across an ocean or something and skipped, like, a big chunk.
Yeah, but it still is sort of, like, half-scripted. Like, I wish the game had more of that for story sequences.
Yeah,
we've ragged about the menu and the inventory system. That could be better.
Yeah. Cooking.
Yeah. I really would have liked to have seen what Hyrule Castle and its, like, surrounding village would have looked like.
I'm sure that's DLC, like...
Yeah.
Like, they got the picture with the models in it, right? Like, that's gotta be DLC.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of the Yiga clan, right?
Oh, yeah, you just
get it with Gerudo.
Yeah.
You go to their hideout, you fight their boss. It's not sure if he's dead or not, right? And then they just... happen to be random enemies once in a while. Like, you're walking and then you hear the ninja poof, right? Like, their obsession with bananas was hilarious.
Yeah.
You find the banana room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wish there was more of that.
I guess the only other thing I would say is more social events within the world.
Okay.
Whether that means, you know, like, oh, at some point in the story, like, one of the villages has a certain festival they have to do, or, like, or some sort of event, or even if you're just going along the world and you meet up with, like, a traveler. Mm-hmm. You know, like, in Skyrim, sometimes, like, a whole huge quest chain will just evolve from meeting somebody randomly in the world.
Dark Brotherhood.
Like, I wish Zelda had something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard not to think of, like, the great things other... open world games have done.
Yeah.
Like, even though this is, like, the Zelda's first outing, you're kind of like, hey, you have all this inspiration. Yeah. Like, you took Ubisoft Towers, you might as well take some other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But overall?
Oh, I still think it's amazing. I think it definitely... Yeah. I mean, like, I want to say it's my favorite Zelda.
The more I play it, the more I'm like... This is the best Zelda game, like, just strictly.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's my favorite just for personal reasons. Just, like, I think Majora's Mask was so unique, and it did, like being able to turn into a Goron, a Zoro, a Deku, like, all that stuff is too cool for me to be, like, my favorite. But I know for sure that...
It's the best playing Zelda.
I think it's the best Zelda game, like, gameplay-wise, but it's not my personal favorite.
Yeah, there are things about Ocarina that I still like better. For example, the final boss. And
Dungeons.
Yeah, that's just the way that whole scenario is laid out.
Yeah, like, sometimes I'm like, why did you get rid of dungeons altogether? Like, I understand being able to tackle it in any way you wanted to. Didn't A Link Between Worlds do that?
Yeah.
Right, you could just... But they still had, like, here's a classic setup. But they threw it out in a way where it's, like... When I went to go to the Great Beasts... It's like they were trying to recreate dungeons, but they were, like, super neutered versions.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, here's a couple more shrine puzzles just outside of a shrine.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't feel like anything special.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Like, the dungeons, to me, aren't there to keep me from the boss. They're there to tell me how important what I'm doing is to the storyline.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the fact that I have to go through these trials to get to this person is because they're very important.
Yeah.
And then when I do something, it'll change something drastically within the world.
Yeah.
Whereas in Breath of the Wild, I would beat a divine beast and then it would sit on top of a mountain.
Yeah. Like, I agree. Like, I've never understood the need of why they wanted to make dungeons a non-sequenced thing.
Yeah.
Like, because it just means that all the dungeons have to be, to me at least, the dungeons all seem a bit more limited in their scope.
Yeah.
Because you have to make sure that the player isn't relying on a weapon or an item from a previous dungeon that they might have not tackled.
Mm.
And I think that's why I like Classic Zelda compared to this.
All right.
A bit more. Like, those are one of the things, like, but that's just me, right? Like, at the same time, I still think, like, I had tons of fun at this game. So, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really easy to pick on small things
yeah.
when a game is so great.
Yeah.
Right? Just like when something is so polished and so nice, any little kind of gripe you have with it becomes bigger because you're like, everything else is so good.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Can't wait for the sequel.
You think they'll do, like, a direct sequel to Breath of the Wild?
No. I can't wait for the next Zelda game, we'll say.
Do you think that they'll keep the open world?
Yes.
Really?
I think they will take all the criticisms to heart. I mean, come on. This is, like, why would they go back to the original formula when they have this?
What if they're too scarred?
I would love it if they just had this open world, but they brought back sequential dungeons.
Oh, even like you want sequential dungeons.
Yeah, like I mean like listen, you can only go to this dungeon first.
Okay. I still really like the idea of being like I could just go to the Goron City if I felt like it right from the get-go.
No, I still think you could go anywhere you want. I just think that like maybe
wouldn't you feel shitty though like if you made it to like the third dungeon and they're like, "Hey, whoa, chill. I heard there's a dungeon over there."
I don't know. This game is fast travel. I don't care.
Okay.
That's right, fair. It's easy for later.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, the biggest problem with this game is there's no long shot.
Yeah, I kind of want to, like, hook to stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, climbing stuff is fine, but it's like, I don't want to back out, re-equip all the climbing gear, go back in. Oh, look, it started raining. Awesome.
No, you know what I want? I want to hook it up so I could take weapons out of the enemy's hands.
That'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
Right? Or even just to, like, take food. Like, I don't want to fight moblins.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't want to cut down trees for apples. Just fucking hookshot apples down to me.
Yeah. That would be cool. For sure.
Hookshot cuckoo. Did you see the gif of someone throwing a cuckoo at a moblin?
Oh, yeah.
And the moblin just got fucking demolished by cuckoos. That was cool. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, the fact that this game has, every time I talk to someone, it's always, there's something new, there's something great. But I just, there's a couple things that I wish it fleshed out more.
Yeah, I have no doubt that, like, I don't know if I'll play a better game this year.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I know, I'll probably love Nier.
I'll probably love Persona 5.
I'll probably love Persona 5.
But I don't know, like, this game is just, like, I cannot stress enough how amazing this game was.
I also didn't see it coming. Like, I knew Zelda was going to be somewhat of a great quality.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to come, it's, again, it's... It's like we said before, it's weird seeing and playing something that you know down the line will be a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this will be a game that, like, might be one of those, like, timeless things. Like, hey, 20 years from now, you should probably play that game on the Switch, or, like, you should probably play that remake of this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yep.
So.
Definitely. It's
really good.
All right, then.
That's it.
This was a long one this week.
Peace.
Yeah, bye.